Hi everyone, I'm Joel Premack and welcome to the Community-Led Growth Show. Each week, I will be speaking with community leaders to share insights with you all on how to build a community-led growth company. Let's get to it. Hey everyone, I'm Joel Premack, host of the Community-Led Growth Show. Today, I'm joined by Remco DeVries, VP of Marketing at Incited. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Remco.
No worries. Thank you for having me. Super excited.
Awesome. And first off, before you dive in with any questions, just got to give you guys a huge shout out on your acquisition by Gainsight and into the Vista Equity family. Congratulations. That's an amazing milestone.
Thank you so much. Yeah. As we were just discussing, I just was on the first call with also a large part of the Vista board at Gainsight, et cetera. And it's super cool. Everyone's so excited. And I think it's a combination that just makes a lot of sense. So it's easy to talk about.
That's
very, very happy.
Awesome. Can't wait to see what you guys do in the future. But now we're going to hop into our conversation for the day. Yeah. So if you would just give everyone a quick 3-second intro about yourself, and we'll go from there.
Sure. So my name's Remco. Last name you just aced, by the way, but I usually don't use because it doesn't work in any other language than Dutch. I'm the VP of marketing for Incited. We're a community vendor mainly selling, or I would say close to almost selling, only selling to B2B SaaS companies and technology companies in the sort of, yeah, technology space, I would say that logically. I'm from the Netherlands. I live in Amsterdam, and I originally wanted to be a pastry chef, but ended up in marketing. So there you go.
Like that fun fact at the end. I like it. Okay. So in a recent post on LinkedIn, I saw you had done a webinar with Nick Mehta. And one of your key takeaways from it was community is a mandatory step in a true product-led growth model. So why do you believe this? And then what are some good examples of companies that you feel are crushing it at building community as part of their PLG motion?
Yeah, absolutely. So starting off answering this question by saying that there's always this debate of ownership in community world, meaning which department owns the community and the community platform and all efforts surrounding growing the community, for example, or achieving growth from the community. And what I always say is that there is no bad department for actually starting a community or starting a community initiative. And that also extends to, for example, the product team. And I think we've seen over, well, I wouldn't say the past year or so, as product-led growth has grown to be more known, and a lot of companies have been shifting to that model, that there are true benefits in having this very close and easy way of communicating with your customers, pulling your customers into, feature discussions, ideation, customer advisory boards, product roadmaps, so that they can actually also have a voice, and that voice is also reflected on what you're doing as a company, especially in a product-led growth model where the actual product and the way customers are using it and also their journey through the product as they grow with your product is so important. I think it's, yeah, super beneficial to keep your customer close. And community to me is, yeah, sort of that amplifier for product-led growth, because it allows you to drag your customer into everything that you're doing and make sure that you're doing the right things. I think companies that are doing this well, there are actually quite a lot, also a lot of our customers. So for example, we have Pipefy, Gainsight, Shootproof, Gong. There's a whole range of companies that are actually leveraging our platform to have conversations with their customers about the product, and where they have communities that are super active in actually suggesting new features or changes to the product on the community. Other customers can vote on them. They can then prioritize them based on customer interest, or maybe even sometimes ARR backing a certain feature or request or something else. And then basically get their product teams involved and make sure that their product teams are doing the right thing. So I think community and product-led growth makes so much sense. And then especially if you then also pair it with customer success, I think you get this very nice triangle of growing your business together with your customers through your products, which is awesome.
I love that idea of a triangle of growth when you talk about product, community, and customer success.
This is not my idea, by the way. I do have to say, because I think it's Nick Metta's idea to make it a triangle. I always thought of it as a circle, but you know, you get the battle of the shapes. And I don't know. I like the triangle. I think it's clear.
Fair enough. I would agree too. So diving in a little bit further into community. So what does community mean to you, and or what does it mean at Inside It?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think I've gone through a large part of my life not knowing what community feeling is. But I think what community is to me is just this sort of sense of belonging in either a group of people or in a location or in a place or within your family. I always give this example of basically an on or an offline thing. So for me, for example, my local football team, which is soccer in the US, but I refuse to call it soccer, it's just football. So basically my local football team, I've been playing with these guys, there's like 25 of them, for I think 11 years or 12 years now. And even that to me is a community, because I feel like Remco within that. I know who I am within that group. I know who everyone else is. It's just super, super easy way of interacting with everyone. And I truly feel like I belong. But also online, for example, for me, communities that I've participated in a long time have been like, I don't know, I'm super geeky. So there is this Tweakers website in the Netherlands, which also has a forum. And I was checking for something else a week ago. I've actually been a member of that since 2005, and I check it daily. And I contribute to that community daily by just responding to, I don't know, several topics around tech and nerdiness. So to me, community is just this place, group, whatever, where you feel like you are your true self and you belong. And I think for Inside It, that is also something that we've always set out to build. So if you go back years within Inside It, we've always talked about that sense of belonging, but then specifically towards businesses and their customers, mentioning that every business, irregardless of whether or not you have a community program or are thinking about building one, you already have a community, because you already have this interested group of customers or prospects or fans that are with you because they like something about you, right? Even if it's your email newsletter, it still fits the description of a community. And that is something that you can leverage and build out if you see fit. So I think that has always been the primary message that Inside It as well. And therefore always has been super important for the company.
Awesome. Well, as you just touched on Inside It as a company, we're gonna now dive into Inside It's actual community. So how is having Inside It impacted the trajectory of the business? How has it been a lever for growth for you all?
Yeah, sure. So fun fact, we used to in the past have two Inspired communities. One was Inspired and one was Inspired HQ. And basically Inspired was customers and all of our employees interacting with those customers. And then HQ was this hidden sort of community for only employees of Inside It, which was fun in the beginning because you get to share all of the weird stuff with your employees, etc. But we actually figured out that this goes against everything that community should be, especially if you're trying to build this out as a central platform for your business where your customers get to engage with your employees, etc. So eventually we sunset Inspired HQ and we just continued with Inspired. And I think why it's important to our business is threefold. So I think one, we definitely also use it for the product feedback and product roadmap kind of functionality or goals. So we try to engage with our customers there. For example, our design team sometimes puts new designs on the community and then asks our customers, like, does this make sense? Is this a feature you would be excited about? We've moved the bar from left to right. Does this impact your daily life? And are you very angry about this? Or do you actually also think that this makes sense? Because I, as a designer, think I do. So I think, the this has helped our product team be more of an owner of the community platform and also be more engaged with our customers. And this has also helped our product team and our customer success team to actually communicate about these feature requests from our customers together, because it's actually the customer talking. So there's no customer success manager that needs to translate to the product team, and then the product team needs to understand in the right way, and then they're building feature A, but the customer actually meant feature B. So we basically eliminated all of that by doing this through our community. I think that's a super big value point for us. Then the other is that we've actually gotten to know our customers in a very different way through our community. So we have identified a number of what we now call power users or super users, which are customers that are super excited and know everything about the inside of platform. They can also tell other customers about it, and we connect them to peers, and we do all those kinds of things. We actually have super users that are originally customers from some of our customers that eventually landed on Inspired in some way or form. I think one I should definitely shout out is Blastoise. I don't know if you've ever been a Pokemon player, but then you know what a Blastoise is. But this is a super user on our own Inspired community now, but he is originally from a customer community that just liked the product that he was working on and the community that he was working on, and then ended up joining our Inspired community to help all of our customers. So I think that's a testament of the true power of community as well. And we see many of our customers choosing to ask their questions on the community nowadays instead of calling a CSM or doing something else, which I think is very good for our CSMs, because they get a lot of time back, right? And they can use that time to actually figure out which sort of high pressure, high value situations now need their attention. But I think this is also good for all of our other customers, because they're often struggling with the same things or have the same questions or same ideas. And by other customers posting that as a default on our community, we help them immediately to also basically get the same things resolved. And I think that's the most powerful thing, probably.
Awesome. So now that you've shared what Inspired is, outside of Incited just drinking its own champagne, as I say, how do you all actually measure the success or ROI of the Inspired community?
Yeah, so a bunch of ways. So for example, if we touch upon the product use case, if we build a feature that was vetted or suggested by the community, we then measure if it's adopted more than it normally would be if we would have just dreamt it up ourselves and launched it into the fray. We also have a bunch of these use cases with our customers. Ultimately, I think across the board, we see that your adoption percentage, or at least immediate adoption, is actually a lot higher if it's co-created with the community and also based on suggestions or ideas from the community. So I think that's naturally one of the most important business results. Then the other is, for example, monthly active users on the community, but also within our product, and especially also how the two correlate together. And then the other is also that we try to figure out, if also participating on our community and us investing so much time within our own community helps our customers be more happy with Incited and stay longer, or like, I guess, retention in the end. And I think those are the three sort of business metrics that are most prominent when we talk about that.
Interesting. So I'm going to dive into the product metric, because I understand it when you said it, but I've never heard anyone actually say that they measured the adoption of a new feature based on and kind of delineating if it's co-created with the community or if it's something that was just dreamt up and rolled out by product/engineering.
Yeah.
So how do you guys actually like measure that? Are you guys using like a product analytics tool? What's the process for reporting it and tracking the data around it?
Yeah. So we have our own analytics, and for some analytics we use an analytics tool like Mixpanel, for example. But I think the biggest win, and this is for a community in general, but also for us in this specific use case, is integrations. So our community is integrated with tooling like Salesforce, but also Gainsight and a bunch of other tools. And by making sure that you actually integrate your community with all of the other data that you have surrounding customers, but specifically in Salesforce, for example, also the ARR of specific customers and upsell opportunities and expansion opportunities, you can actually relate community engagement and votes and new ideas suggested by customers to upsell opportunities afterwards with that feature, for example. And then, yeah, you can just tie them together and figure out that that only happened because this is this new feature that they suggested or someone else suggested and they were actually interested in.
I love that idea. That's such a smart way to do it.
I think community teams should also look, and especially in B2B and in tech, but this is something that you should be doing because we often hear in community world, I think one of the most asked questions still on our sales cycle is how do I show value to my exec team? And ultimately you can screenshot as many community conversations as you want. But the only thing that your CFO and CEO and a bunch of those roles are going to care about is how it contributes to the company's bottom line or important metrics like NRR or net revenue retention, that is, or something else. So you should look for integrations and making sure that your community is integrated well within other tools that actually cover a large part of that funnel and that sort of business metrics funnel. To make sure that you can also show value from your community's perspective, because that's going to get a lot more eyes on your program. And it's also going to make things a lot easier if you're looking to expand or do something else or invest in something or do a campaign or host a super user day, whatever. If it costs money and you can show that it actually also brings you money, that works best.
Awesome. I love that.
I'll take off my glasses because it reflects.
No worries at all. So I know that we're coming close on time just now. So what are three community trends that within the B2B space that you're most excited about as we're in 2022 and looking beyond that?
Sure. So one is definitely the customer hub it's like a dedicated community section on a website that basically replaces a lot of the standalone tools that are currently in existence and making life difficult, I think, personal opinion, for your customers. So basically, a customer hub will be the go-to place, the single central source of all customer success, onboarding, whatever information. And customers only need one login to basically be there. That will probably be the login that they also use for your platform or product. And then they can basically, whatever stage they're in, personalized or not personalized, find all of the content that they need to basically get their job done or learn more about your product or a certain feature or complete an onboarding course or something else. I think we're super close to this. I think a lot of companies currently already have a knowledge base or an LMS or something, but it's just super separate. And I think one of the biggest trends that we will start seeing is that this is all in one place, which is probably hopefully then still called the community or at least the customer hub. And this is where all teams will work together to make sure that that the customer is basically helped in the best way possible. I think number two is customer success as the owner for communities. So if you look at our pipeline a year ago, it would basically be a dead on. Well, I think 50% would be marketing owned. Then we would have 25 support and 25 customer success. And now that's actually shifted to the majority of projects being owned by the customer success team. I think this also has to do with new developments within the world of customer success, like digital customer success, which is basically a scaled model for the long tail of customers that don't really warrant dedicated or have a dedicated CSM to talk to every day. And I think community is going to play a major role in that development, and also customer success paired with community is going to be a major thing there. And I think the third one is just product, as we just mentioned, and product-led growth. Community being an amplifier for that in ways that I explained earlier, I think will be something that we see a lot more coming year, maybe already even, because PLG is actually starting to become quite the thing. And I think it's only logical that community would follow suit and be a logical part of that motion.
Awesome. Well, Remco, thank you again for being on the Community-Led Growth Show today. If people want to connect with you after listening to the episode, what are the best handles and or channels for them to use?
Yeah, just find me on LinkedIn. I think it's Remco DV, I think. I hope. If not, I lied, but then you can just find me by searching for Remco de Vries or Remco Inside It or something. I'm addicted to LinkedIn, so that's probably the best way. Sending an email is fine too, but just do LinkedIn because that's something that I do read every moment of the day. So there you go.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much and have a great day.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.